Good morning. We welcome you to worship here at Emmanuel, part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Whether you are a regular or a visitor today, please feel at home. We welcome you too if you're listening to the recording that you have found on our webpage, and send you our best wishes. Today is the last Sunday of our minister's sabbatical, and filling our pulpit is Brian Elkington from our sister church in Highworth. Brian, we are delighted to have you here again and wait to hear what you have to say to us. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
This morning's readings are read by Edith Watson and by me, Liz Gibney. I would just like to remind you that next Sunday we are collecting for the food bank. Other notices are all in weekly news. And finally, we'll have a few moments of silence as I light the two candles, the Christ candle and the peace candle.
Good morning, Emmanuel. Lord God, as we gather now in worship, help us to leave worldly thoughts behind. Teach us the kingdom values, we pray, so that we may grow in faith, not just this day, but always. Amen. Our first hymn, and they're all from Rejoice and Sing, is number 405, Angel Voices Ever Singing Round Thy Throne of Light.
Thank you.
And so let us join in prayer to our wonderful God. Welcoming God, you've sought us and we draw near. You've called us and we wait here in your presence. What would we be without you? What would we do without you? Through Christ you have pursued us with grace, forgiven us with mercy, and embraced us with love. In Christ you have poured out all your all to bring us, all people and all creation, back into right relationship. You even submitted to suffering and death so that we may know healing and life. In Christ, you lead us through death to life and promise us life in all its fullness, undeserved and beyond our imaginings. O Father God, we come with awe and wonder at the extent of your love. Broader, higher, and deeper than we're able to perceive. And we give you thanks and praise. We ask you to receive our worship. Hear our prayers as incense before your throne. And enable us to submit to your will and way. Prepare us for the coming days as we grow in you, transformed by your Spirit and challenged by your calling. Lord God, even as we pray these wonderful words, we confess that the concerns of the world weigh us down. We worry about our needs, our wants, how others perceive us. We can be so overwhelmed. We turn to you, Lord, seeking the assurance that your kingdom is with us and among us. Help us to discern where it lies, so that we may turn our backs on all else. Grant us the patience to seek you and your ways with the forbearance you show as you wait for us. Almighty God, although we take forever, you have forever. You are the God of eternity. We are slow to seek you, slow to learn, slow to grow in faith. But when we're faltering, you wait, sure and steady to forgive us. When we're lacking in trust, you forgive us and persist in working out your ways despite us. Thank you, O God of forgiveness and forbearance. Amen. And as Christ taught us, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As you would have seen in the notices, the elders suggested that I should tell you a little bit this morning about Highworth URC, Robert's other church. Because, as you all know, we're seeking closer ties, much closer ties with Emmanuel, in order to ensure our very survival. Okay, our congregation in Highworth is about 250 years old, And the building that we meet in, our listed chapel, Grade 2 listed, is about 200 years old. We're just coming up to that anniversary. It's easily found. It's the only front garden on the High Street. We've had our glory days as a congregation, you know, with hundreds of people and same number of children. We've still got the remains of the gallery you can see in the chapel. But these days, that's history. We're now just a small gathering, a few people, and frankly, most of us pretty elderly. Our attendance, average attendance last year at Sunday worship was 12. And this year it's going to be slightly less, I reckon. That's the gloomy picture. Now for the better one, a better view. We have a statement of purpose as a church, which is, we are a Christian church of faithful people, searching for God's guidance, trying to follow the way of Jesus. We are here for you. In other words, for other people. In Highworth, there are three other churches these days. St. Michael's, the parish church, the Methodist church, and the community church, which is a charismatic one. And we all work together very closely. We have a meeting of representatives, call it a committee if you like, we do a lot of things to do together. And although we're the smallest in number, we do try to play our part in the joint activities, even if we can't run much ourselves. But our main outreach is, of course, in money, from our trust fund. Way back in the middle of the 19th century, a benefactor left us a field, and for years, there was just a horse grazing in it, something like that. We got a few pounds each year. Then the field was sold for housing, and that brought us in nearly £2 million. A colossal sum for a local church. The Synod, of course, are trustees of such a large sum. But we have an investment committee which advises Synod as to how we suggest they invest that money and change any investments if necessary. And Don has recently joined that committee. So you have an input in it already. We can't spend the capital, of course, but the income is ours to use for proper purposes. And part we reinvest to maintain the real value of the fund against inflation. And so it's now nearer 3 million than 2 million. The rest of the income goes partly to keep our doors open, all the necessary expenses of a church, but is mainly given away. This is our outreach. The biggest sum each year goes to supplement our ministry and mission assessment for paying ministers and training and pension and so on. Then over recent years we've made substantial grants to two particular bodies. One is Christians Against Poverty, CAP, which is very active in Highworth and surrounding villages as well. They spread out. And secondly, to the Lighthouse Bookshop. So each year, for quite a number of years, they've had a substantial sum from us. And, well, frankly, without those sums, they wouldn't be in existence now. Then we make grants and gifts to various charities, some local in Highworth or Swindon, and some national appeals. And I'm not trying to blow our own trumpet, but just to so you know the picture, we calculate that since we had this fund 20 years ago, we've given away about £700,000. And we're delighted to have done that. That's the money. But the focus of a church should not be money. Our focus has to be our regular worship. We meet every second and fourth Sunday in the month, and the fifth if there is one. And we meet at 10:45, quarter of an hour later than you do here. So I invite you, if you have can arrange transport, one day come over and see us. Join us on the second or fourth or fifth Sunday. And we'd love to see you. As I say, we're the only front garden in the high street, close to the traffic lights, so we're easily found. We'd love to see you. We'll make you welcome. Thank you. So let's get back to worship this morning as we sing our next hymn, number 600, Christ is the World's Light, He and None Other.
The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. That's 1 Kings, chapter 3, verses 5 to 12. And you'll find it on page 315 in the first part of the Bible. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father, David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept him, this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out and come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you.
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, reading verses 31 to 33, and then verses 44 to 46. You will find it on page 14 in the New Testament. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Now at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The choir will now sing some words from the Book of Common Prayer. The peace of God be with you. Set to music by John Rutter. And this is in the nature of a blessing from the choir before they take their summer break. Thank you.
Peace of God.
Would you describe Jesus, I wonder, as an optimist or a pessimist? Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Sometimes we hear words like, oh, God is dead, or the church is dead. Christianity is for old people who like that sort of thing. Do you think Jesus would go along with that? It doesn't square with the Jesus I know. If he was here in the flesh today, would he be looking at partly filled churches and calling them half empty or half full? Surely, he would be telling us in no uncertain terms that the church is not dead. The kingdom of heaven is alive and well in the world and continues to march on. All right, not in every place at every time, but overall it's unstoppable. Our Lord firmly believed in the cause of his kingdom. And he gave us those four little parables that we heard in the second reading to try to explain it. The first one was the mustard seed. That analogy, it was a proverbial Jewish illustration because of the smallness of the seed and the size of the plant. I mean, okay, it's not literally the tiniest seed you can get, and it grows into a large bush, certainly not a large tree. But it emphasized that big things can grow from small things. I mean, we say great oaks from little acorns grow. It's the same sort of idea. Jesus never despised small things. I mean, one that springs to mind is the widow's mite, that story. Anyway, the kingdom. His kingdom, of course, began in a very small way. Just that small group of followers that he had with him. Like a seed, later to grow. And after his time on earth, it was to suffer persecution and heresy, misguided leadership, and all sorts of other difficulties. But none of these trials could keep the church from marching on. Marching on in the power of the Spirit. Today, the church worldwide has reached unbelievable proportions. Countless millions have borne his name. From that tiny seed has grown a very large bush indeed. And if Christianity seems to be receding in this country at present, as the figures I quoted about Highworth just a few minutes ago illustrate. If that's the case, but remember, Christ was not preaching that the faith would conquer the entire world. He was conquering that it would have phenomenal growth. He was preaching that it would have phenomenal growth and it would reach amazing proportions. And it has. I suppose if we were to be told that a tiny group of men and women were to be the means of starting this amazing growth, we would expect some wonderful start, some flamboyant, explosive display of power to help things along. But there wasn't. All right, I know there was the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, but that was a fairly local event, and generally there weren't wonderful things after that. The kingdom grew by quiet, unpretentious influence on millions of lives. And when whatever we see around us in Western Europe at present, we can be optimistic about the overall growth of the kingdom in this world. That was the mustard seed. The second parable we heard was of the leaven, the yeast. and excuse me. This parable doesn't deal with the outward growth of the kingdom, but with the invisible inward change that the kingdom would effect. Because we must always be aware that this kingdom we talk about is not like the kingdom of Great Britain or some other geographical place. It's not geography. It's a kingdom of the mind, a kingdom of the soul. Perhaps it would be better to speak of kingship or something like that, or reign. The parable of the yeast, then, is a parable of the reign of Jesus working in the individual from within. I suppose in one sense it's an illustration of our salvation that the yeast is placed in the dough once and then it continues to work. So we come to faith once, but Christ continues to work within us throughout our lives. Yeast is quiet. Have you ever heard it? Or a mustard seed breaking into life? Or something like broad beans in jam jars round damp, you know, with damp blotting paper like we did as children? Do they make any noise? No. Yet the growth went on. It went on relentlessly. And it's the same with the kingdom. This kingdom I'm talking about, it doesn't often work in our noisy efforts, but in the quiet and relentless way of God, growing in the hearts of men and women, and children too, of course. And yeast works on the whole of the dough, not just one little bit where you put it in, it works on the whole of the dough. In the same way, the kingdom seeks to work on the whole of people's lives. We become a new creation, as Paul puts it. Yes, I believe that Jesus was an optimist, not just because of the phenomenal growth of the kingdom and its influence that he foresaw. He was an optimist because of the infinite worth of the kingdom he was ushering in. And that's what the last of these two little parables point to. The ones about the hidden treasure and the pearl. What a pity that so many people are unaware of the value of this kingdom. Like the people who walked over the treasure without knowing it was there, or looked at the pearl and passed on, not realizing what they were missing. I don't know whether you're like me and enjoy watching the Antiques Roadshow on television. If so, you'll be familiar with this situation. An old vase picked up for a tenner at a car boot sale or a charity shop, which turns out to be worth many thousands of pounds. And sadly, all too many people are like those sellers. They don't know the value of what they're selling. They don't know the value of what they're seeing. They don't know the value of the kingdom. Perhaps because they've never been told. I wonder if you've come across the lines by R.S. Thomas called The Bright Field. They go like this. I have seen the sun break through to illuminate a small field for a while and gone my way and forgotten it. But that was the pearl of great price, the one field that had treasure in it. I realize now that I must give all that I have to possess it. Life is not hurrying on to a receding future, not hankering after an imagined past. It is the turning aside, like Moses to the miracle of the lit bush, to a brightness that seemed as transitory as your youth once, but is the eternity that awaits you. Yes, this kingdom that we enjoy being part of is worth far more than we have or we are. Each person in these two stories, when they, the ones who recognized the value of the treasure and of the pearl, they eagerly took steps to possess it. Neither felt they were making any real sacrifice because the treasure was worth so much more than they had to offer for it. Just like the kingdom of God. So much more than they had to offer for it. And the wonder is that unlike buying earthly possessions, this treasure is not beyond our purse. It's within our reach. It's within our grasp. We talk about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I suppose these terms are interchangeable. But how can we define the term if we're asked? Somebody says, what is it? Well, a French archbishop wrote in the 17th century that it was to want all that God wants, always to want it, for all occasions and without reservations. This is the kingdom of God which is all within. I think that probably sums it up fairly well. And I repeat that I've no doubt that Jesus is optimistic and not pessimistic. As part of it, of course, he knows the infinite worth of the kingdom. And the wonderful thing is that he still offers it to everyone today. The gospel is always the same and so simple. It could be summed up in three little words: come, repent, believe. All he asks is our unconditional surrender to him so that we may enter his kingdom as children. Unconditional surrender. That's a key point. Do you remember the story of Jacob and his dream of a stairway up to heaven? When he woke up, he bargained with God. He said in words like this, if you will look after me, then you will be my God. If. Who was Jacob to say, if you'll do this, then I'll be yours. That's no way to respond to the invitation of Jesus to share in his kingdom. When you give all, he gives all. We find the kingdom in no other way. We all know the line in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder if we could perhaps pray a slightly adapted version of that line. Thy kingdom come to my heart, Lord. Thy will be done in my life on all occasions, just as it is in heaven. Let's do that now, just before I announce our next hymn. I'll repeat that, and I invite you to see in a few moments of quiet if you can go along with it in your heart. Thy kingdom come to my heart, Lord. Thy will be done in my life on all occasions, just as it is in heaven. We sing the hymn 200, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy." 200. And let's join again in prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you for this privilege of being able to address our prayers to you, knowing that you listen. We thank you for the privilege of being able to share in your work in this world, knowing that you are with us as we do so. We thank you that we are part of your kingdom here on earth and in heaven. Oh, Father God, we pray to you for that kingdom this morning. We pray for its growth, for its strengthening, that it may be a mighty force in the world in its non-forceful way. We pray, Lord, for those parts of the world where people do not enjoy peace and comfort and reassurance, those places where bombs and guns rule, Ukraine and other lesser conflicts around the world. Lord, we pray again earnestly that men and women may not use guns but words to settle their differences. We pray for peace. And Father, we pray for our own government as they seek to exercise goodwill. May they be given wisdom in all that they seek to do to internationally and in governing our own country. And Father, we're very conscious that there are so many people who are short of money and therefore short of food or housing or heating or whatever it may be. Lord, we do pray for a more equitable distribution of resources. It'll never be equal for everyone. But Lord, we pray that those at the bottom of the pyramid may have sufficient. And we thank you for those who work to bring help and resources and comfort to those in need. The various food sharing operations and the help given to the homeless and so on. Lord, we thank you for the selfless work of so many people and pray that they may be continued to receive your strength and support. Lord, we see still the effects of climate change in the fires recently, and we pray for those who have been affected by it. Perhaps lost loved ones or lost possessions. Be with them, Lord. Give them courage to face the future. And give us wisdom to acknowledge the need for changing the way we live. And Father, as many people break up for the holidays, we pray for those who go on holiday. Our friends, our family, and those we don't know. That they may have safe journeying and a restful and refreshing time on the holiday. And Lord, we remember before you our own minister, Robert. We thank you for all his ministry to these two churches. We thank you for the blessing of his sabbatical as we look forward to his return and pray that he will come back refreshed and full of new insights to teach us. And so, Lord, we conclude these prayers with a few moments of quiet when we bring before you the topics which are on our own minds. All these prayers we bring to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And our closing hymn is number 663. I jumped a line. Let us receive the offering. Dear Father God, we thank you for all that you give to us. And we pray that these monies and those we give in other ways will be blessed by you and used for your glory in advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And we share in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. Okay, now can I have the last hymn? 663, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Loving God, thank you for your rain breaking in all around for those with eyes to see. May the light of your love be focused within us. May we create space in our hearts to treasure it. And may we be of service to your love, now and always. Amen.